Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning with the Albany Institute of History and Art, presenting two major exhibitions this fall, For Liberation and For Life, The Legacy of Black Dimensions in Art. And we'll be talking about that at length this morning. Also, they are presenting in connection with it, Jacob Lawrence, three series of prints, and we'll find out about all of that in just a moment. For Liberation and For Art celebrates the 50th anniversary of Black Dimensions in Art Incorporated, BDA, a volunteer-led group of creatives and activists founded in Schenectady in 1975. Featuring paintings, photographs, films, textiles, sculptures, and mixed-media works, For Liberation and For Life honors BDA's legacy and looks to its future. This major group exhibition brings together over 60 contemporary New York artists, nationally and internationally recognized artists, and acclaimed historic works, forming one of the largest exhibitions of Black artists in the history of the Capital Region. To tell us more, we welcome a lot of people. We welcome Mickey Kahn, who is the BDA founding member, an artist, storyteller, poet, writer, and community organizer. Hello, Mickey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's really good to see you again. Thank you very much for being here, as always.
Thank you.
Also welcome Jacqueline Lake, who is a it's Jacqueline Lake Sample. Correct?
Yes.
Yes. BDA board member, retired criminal justice program analyst and artist. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Wonderful pleasure to have you with us. Stephen Tyson is a BDA board member, an artist, a professor, a lecturer, sitting right beside me. How you doing, Stephen?
Good afternoon, Joe.
Very nice to have you on the program. Dasha Devon Harris is also a BDA board member, an artist, educator, and cultural history preservationist. And Kayla Carlson joins us, executive director of the Albany Institute of History and Art. Kayla, how are you? Very nice to have you on the program.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Kayla, you're up. Tell us about how this all came about.
Well, I can't take much credit for this, unfortunately. It predated me. I joined the Institute about a year ago, and this was on the calendar very solidly, I think for 3 years prior, having hosted the very first organized exhibition for BDA in 1976. The Institute was an obvious partner for their 50th anniversary, and I think this got on the calendar very early.
What, as far as the, and just quickly tell us about the other exhibition and sort of how, what the museum is representing at this particular moment.
Sure. So the original exhibition in 1976, my understanding was that it was a mix of BDA member artists as well as historic African-American artists dating all the way back to the 19th century. So the idea behind the exhibition as it currently exists was to try and recreate some of that synergy by finding representations of the same historic artists and then bringing in a whole new crew of what BDA represents today, as well as how it was founded. And I think the group here did a really wonderful job of putting together and organizing the exhibit in the space with great accolade to those historic founding members and the historic artists that inspired them, with a nod to them sort of as the central focus, and a growth aspect or a growth mindset as to how the rest of the galleries were laid out with more contemporary inspired artists.
So 5 decades ago, as this was all coming together, Mickey Kahn, you were there, a founding member. What was the mood of the room then, and what you wanted to do, and what your ultimate hopes were for getting together?
It was both celebratory for accomplishing getting all of these works together, getting them up to Schenectady, New York, because many of the artists were not local.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there was a determination to change the environment in the sense that Black artists were not recognized, did not have the opportunities that other artists had. And so there was a mission, and the mission was to create opportunity for Black artists, to educate the community up here of the existence of Black artists throughout the United States, but particularly in New York State, and to create opportunity. So it was both a celebration, first time that we had done something like this, and a determination to change things.
So what was the, how did it feel when that first exhibition came about and took off?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And that kind of gave the energy to create an organization, to really be a working organization, as opposed to a group of people who got together for this particular purpose. Instead, it was, yes, this is only the first. We will go on. We will become an organization.
How do you think, and I want to hear from the artists here, of course, but how do you think it has helped artists over the last 5 decades?
I think that there is recognition within the Black community, a larger recognition of the existence of Black artists, the support of Black artists coming out to our openings and our events. So that has grown from being unaware or marginally aware to looking forward to our exhibits. But at the same time, there's still work to be done. There's still room for opportunity for, I would say, the larger arts community is not necessarily aware of the Black artists within this community. And so, and also, I don't want to leave out the children, because that's a part of our role, is to help children understand that this is a career they could consider for themselves, that they may be artistic, they may be drawing on their own free time, they may do well in drawing in school, but by seeing that other Black artists are working and are publishing, I'm thinking of Kwame Anderson's work, it's kind of a comic book, but it's not a comic book.
Yeah.
I think of that, and there are kids who are doing that same kind of thing in their bedrooms, and for them to see that this is a career you could consider for yourself.
And that makes it accessible.
Exactly.
And I think I'm taking off on Mickey with children. That's my particular area. So we have a summer camp every year that we do with Trinity Alliance for 2 weeks. And we pair artists working in different mediums with the kids at Trinity. And the old adage is, if you don't see yourself, you can't imagine yourself.
Sure.
So they see artists that look like them working in different medias, which gives them encouragement. This summer, we took them down to the concourse because there are two artists in the concourse, abstract artists, that Rockefeller commissioned to create two pieces, and that's William T. Williams and Al Loving. And most of the time you pass by there and you don't know that these two artists are Black, and our children don't know that. So they were quite excited when they went down to the plaza and they saw, oh my God, yes, we can do this.
Jacqueline Lake, how did you get involved in this initially?
Oh my. Through their secretary, Eva Harvey. I met her years ago, and BDA had an exhibit down on the concourse. It was doing Black History. No, it was doing the Black Festival.
Yeah.
Because BDA participated in that. And that's how I got involved in terms of going to their exhibits. I didn't get on the board until the 2000-something or another. But, yeah, I've been involved since then.
And it's and I assume it's been amazing to see what the accomplishments have been over that time.
Oh, yes, it really has. We've seen young artists come along and just, you know, grow. And we've watched the children become interested in art and what they can create, you know, so that's been good. Our newest collaboration is with the Nature Conservancy. And one of our artists, Takis Walters. Takis Walters is an open-air artist, so she does landscapes. Mm. So we partnered with her and the Nature Conservancy to do open-air art with children. And it's a collaboration between the Nature Conservancy with Takis and Macedonia Baptist Church. The children come from there to do this two-week art outdoor program.
What an amazing opportunity. Yeah. Really incredible.
At the same time, they learn about careers in conservancy as well. So,
you mean being an artist doesn't pay enough? No. Just kidding. Daisha Devon Harris, artist, educator, give us a sense of how you got involved in all this.
Actually, my great uncle was a BDA member. Jumping off what Jackie said, as a kid, he was my first mentor. And so it never occurred to me that I couldn't be an artist, because I had this great example of a self-taught artist who made his living from his art. And so I really always credit him as like a reason that I was able to succeed and to keep going. And it was in 2015 that I started participating with BDA. I was in the 40th anniversary show, and it was just like a complete honor to me to be asked to be in the show and to become a participant of the group, and I have not looked back since.
When you see your work up there with others, it must be incredibly gratifying.
It's like a feeling that you can't describe. To be in the presence of, you know, people like Mickey Kahn, who has committed her life not only to her art, but to make sure that other artists have opportunities, is like, it's just the greatest thing. And it's what I, you know, strive to do. And it's what I think sets this organization apart in the art world in general. It's like very just like self-centered and kind of just do anything to get to the top.
Yes.
But in this organization, it is much, much more emphasis on making sure we're lifting as we climb and to make opportunities for other people as well.
And I mean, the collaboration comes in the support. Obviously, your art is your art, mm-hmm. but there is that collaboration that helps you and all the other stuff of getting it out there in the world.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just for me particularly, my support has come from organizations who solely promote either work by Black artists or artists of color. That is where I have found like the Center for Photography at Woodstock and FOCO in New York City. Those are the organizations that have just lifted me and continued to have a relationship. And so like BDA, that's where I also try to put my energy.
We welcome Stephen Tyson to the program and to the discussion. BDA board member, an artist, a professor, a lecturer. When did you first get involved with the organization?
Well, I got involved with BDA probably around 1998. I came to the Capital Region at that time, and I was about to take a position at the Albany Center Gallery. Yeah. And that's where I met Mickey Kahn, and Mickey Kahn was working there at the time. And so she told me about BDA, and that's how I got involved with BDA.
And what, in your looking, that you're almost half of the history of this organization and been part of it, what has it been like for you, and what have you what have you seen the benefits for others been, and the benefits for you personally?
Well, I think one of the benefits is the way in which we've reached across many generations, many different genres of artistic expression, and also the opportunities, the creating the platform so that other artists' voices can be heard. and seen. And I think that one of the things that I love is the way in which we have, as a volunteer-run organization, we invest our time and our love and our energy to make sure that others are, as Daisha described, lifted up, that those opportunities are available for them. And so that's one of the things that I feel most grateful for. I think funding is always a challenge for arts
sure.
organizations. But at the same time, we are committed to making sure that the work of artists, particularly those who may be marginalized or didn't have the opportunity to have their work out there, to be appreciated. And so that's why it's great to work in partnership with organizations like the Albany Institute of History and Art and the Tang Museum to help partner together to make this happen.
All right. So tell me how this particular show came together and what people can expect from it. Who would like to handle that? Everyone's looking at everyone else. I don't know.
Well, we've been thinking about this project for a number of years. 50 years. I mean, that's incredible in and
yes.
of itself for a arts organization in general, but specifically a black arts organization to have lasted this long, you know, through the vision of Mickey Kahn and so many others, Margaret Cunningham, and those who helped pave the way. It's an honor, and it's a blessing, and it's very exciting, as I said, for us to be here in this conversation today, 50 years down the road. And we're not stopping at 50 years. We're looking forward to 75, 100 years, so it doesn't end here. But this is the opportunity for us to also, we're in the midst of developing a documentary film. We have our archival show, as I mentioned, at the Tang Museum, where people can go and visit and see some of the ephemera and some works of art and videos of interviews and so forth. And the show that we have right now at the Albany Institute is absolutely, I've never personally seen anything like it in my life. I invite everybody, all ages, across all genres, ethnicities and so forth, to come and experience something that is part of the American experience.
Mickey, how is it curated and decided what goes in to the show, this particular exhibit?
Well, I was not involved in the bringing in of contemporary artists. I was more involved in the historic artists, the artists from the beginning of the organization, you know, gathering their works and all. So maybe Jackie and Daisha can speak to that a little more.
Sure. Daisha.
Well, it's quite overwhelming to choose, a number of artists who can fit in a specific size space because we had originally all written down like our dream list of artists who we like to include, and there was over 500 people. Clearly we could not fit that in the space, so we had to figure out a way to whittle it down, and we kind of looked at it in different sections. We said we want to have a section where we are honoring, you know, founders and people who have paved the way. And that's people like Margaret Cunningham, Gordon Parks, you know, everywhere from local to national and international. And then we said we also want to highlight, as the organization has historically done, artists throughout New York State, and particularly artists who are in areas outside of the city, you know, places that don't get as much spotlight and shine. And from there, we said we want to really highlight people who are working right now, who are working artists and trying to make their life through their art. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how we started off. Mm-hmm. And we also said particularly we want to uplift mediums that have been historically, excluded, mm-hmm. things like textile work. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to make sure we uplifted women in this exhibition. As probably everyone's aware, throughout many of the art movements in the history of this country, women were really excluded from many of the groups, including many of the black arts groups. And so that was another thing that was on our list that we really paid close attention to.
Jackie?
Yes. And as Deja says, we really wanted to show the various mediums that are represented, to show that we're not homogeneous. We are have a wide variety of presentation. And so we are able to have the textile, we're able to have the collage, we're able to have the oil on canvas, we're able to have the pastels, we're able to have the ceramic, we're able to have, am I missing anything?
Puppetry.
Puppetry, oh
video.
My.
Video work.
Oh, installation. Can't forget the puppetry.
Yeah, the puppetry, oh my. And the installation, this particular installation is just amazing.
You know, we have traditional landscapes, mm-hmm. you know, going back to Robert Duncanson, 1850, mm-hmm. Tikis Walter, you know, contemporary artists doing landscapes, you know, and that certainly connects with one of the important themes of the Albany Institute itself. Mm-hmm. So there's a through line through many of these different works on display.
For Liberation and For Life is on display through the end of the year. www.albanyinstitute.org, and lots of other cool stuff going on, of course, at the Institute as well.
Absolutely. Come and visit.
We look forward to it. Again, albanyinstitute.org for more information. My thanks to Kayla, Dacia, Stephen, Jackie, and Mickey. You're all wonderful. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Congratulations on this wonderful achievement and for sharing and for doing the wonderful work in our community.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. We'll take a short break with BBC News and come back with Bok Bok Central right after this.